traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Whoever was in charge of going forward with Mixer, you are dumb. You're dumb.
But they started as Daimler, the Mercedes. He rode around in the Mercedes.
Mercedes Benz.
Doesn't.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. We good, Brad? We got Brad back.
Woo.
Brad, we're glad to have you back. Brad, we're glad.
Glad. We're glad, Brad. All right. A couple things you might notice there right after that. Camera motion may be a little flunky because David the German is doing it instead of Andre now that Andre's moved out. Or better, maybe.
Good.
You'll notice that the angle switches may be better or worse because Brad's back, our angles guy.
A1.
The notes for the episode are going to be incredible because Danny's on just notes now.
And the lights.
And the main hosting duty may be a little lower than usual because our co-host, our host of the show, Logan Paul, is high as a kite right now.
He's, right now?
For the first time ever, he's had to smoke a little bit. He's dealing with some frustration today.
I just took a little bit. I was just feeling a little anxious, maybe angry in my feels a little bit. And I don't know. I have been feeling that like that for some time. I figured it'd be good to bring myself down a little bit. But it'll be interesting to see how it translates on Impulsive.
Onto the show.
I'm sure you guys might be able to feel it a little bit. But, dude, we have a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on in the world. This cold, scary, weird, horrifying world that we're living in right now. What did we do this weekend? We went to the ranch and proceeded to go to Palm Springs for a party of our friends and then proceeded to go to Vegas to meet my girlfriend's dad, the home run hitter, Jose Canseco.
Jose Canseco.
That's just a long weekend.
It was very long. That's why, dude, you know, it was long, not much sleep. We were partying at that party, which is what you do at parties. And
Josie said those people go long, yeah?
They go long and hard, man.
Not such a bad combo.
So wait, after that, you drove the Yeti to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
How is that drive?
I drive.
Yeah.
And this is kind of fucked up, but I do it because like... I don't know. Something about Josie driving this big vehicle. Like, I don't know. She could do it. It pulls right. The chassis is like bent and it's like driving a monster truck. So I'm like, yeesh, man, I would hate. So I asked her, I go, Josie, do you feel comfortable doing this? She said, yeah, she bossed up and she's a great driver. She killed it.
Oh, wow.
On the way back. Halfway through on the way back, by the way, it took me a little bit to overcome that mental hump of maybe it's just like a control thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe
I mean, when we drove to LA, you drove the entire thing. You didn't let me drive one time.
So I think it's a control thing. I don't think it's Josie. I just like, bro, it's my baby. Like every dude has that car that he just is like, yeah, I'll probably drive this 7-hour trip every day. That was me.
It's not an easy vehicle to drive either.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a strange one. It's like a little tank. Have knobs on it.
It's not fun either. So what happened was it was a 4x4 G-Wagon and we raised it. We put fat tires on it and they were so big that the suspension actually is completely bottomed out. So anytime you go, it's completely bottomed out. Like it's the most uncomfortable vehicle. It's the most uncomfortable vehicle in the world. So you go over speed bump, it's the whole car.
You feel
and
the whole
by
thing.
The way, people in the back.
Which you hadn't felt until recently, right? Because you had never sat in the back of the car and then someone drove and you sat in the back.
It's horrifying. You'd be surprised how much space these G-Wagons don't have.
None.
Yo, it's like a little shoebox in there.
It's so weird.
It's crazy. Why is that?
You think it's this huge car, but it's really not. Mm. It's you're cramped in. But yeah, so anyways, enough about the G-Wagon. Yeah, you drove to Vegas.
Thank you, Mike, for keeping me on track.
How many hours? Because I gave you a warning. We could talk about the G-Wagon for the rest of the show.
We could just extrapolate all the deepest, darkest thoughts about all Logan's G-Wagon things.
So how long did it take you to get there from Palm Springs?
About 5 hours.
And we drove as well from here, and it took the same amount of time.
Yeah.
Me and Amara drove out to Vegas on the front end of him going out there. We were out there for 3 days before he got out there, observing the new normal.
Wow.
The new normal. Wow. I was shooting vlogs the whole time I was there for the night shift, which is coming up on its 1-year anniversary this Thursday, which is crazy.
Wow.
weird.
Congrats almost.
Thank you so much.
Not yet.
Imagine it, the show somehow doesn't make it to that point. Anyways.
it just crashes and burns.
Yeah, YouTube dies like Mixer, which we'll talk about in a little
coming
bit.
Coming up shortly.
But yeah, so everything that I was doing there, I was just observing. So we get to the Wynn, which is where we like to stay because it's a great hotel, the Wynn and Encore, both the nice hotels there. We walk in and we go to walk through the front door and we're stopped. Right as we walk in the front door, and I'm like, oh, they probably have seen Lana or Amara's work, depending on what channel you watch her on. And no, that wasn't it. They wanted to use a little radar zapper to take our temperatures before we were allowed
stick it on your forehead
into the building. Well, this one was done by a camera, so it's already in a fixed position.
What?
And there's a little guy on a keyboard like this as you walk through.
Whoa.
And so we walk in and you know, we go through all the things, but we get to the room. There's no robes. There's no robes in the room. If you want robes, you can order them. There's no mini bar. If you want things from the mini bar, you order them up.
Shared items.
David, we brought David as well to observe, which was great. So the German videographer was there as well. We stopped by Marquee, which is one of the day club, which is one of the biggest pool parties in Vegas, to see what had changed. There's no more general admission now. If you don't have a table, you cannot get into the Marquee Day Club at the pool. So unless you're willing to spend thousands and thousands of dollars, you can't even go in. Yeah.
How was that?
Well, there was no one. There was really no one there.
I mean, it wasn't a party, but did you have a nice time by the pool?
Well, we met with Jason Strauss. Shout out Jason Strauss, who owns the Tao Group, just to say what's up to him. And I wanted to let people know that Tao establishments are reopening. And John Schwartz set us up for that. And we hung out for a little bit, but it's just... everything feels strange now.
So strange.
Can you relate?
I think it's not only is the aesthetic of things different, obviously,
right?
But the way people are interacting with people, I'm telling you, that's the weirdest thing for me, bro. Humans are scared of each other. We are really scared of each other, dude. I mean, you know, we shook Mr. Canseco's hand. And like he's not even sure if we're allowed to do that anymore. Yeah. Like, no one is. Are we allowed to shake hands? Like, I don't know.
It was supposed to be dumped with a lot of the other prehistoric notions, such as hugging.
You know what they're calling? You know,
I've been eating at restaurants next to another table.
I hugged some people that I met because I had a good time with
them.
It's
crazy.
Did I do wrong?
No, I don't think so. But I mean, listen, it's everybody's just figuring it all out. And what we're seeing right now is... they're calling it the second wave. Technically, it's still the first wave because the second wave will be in the fall. But coronavirus cases are skyrocketing, snowballing out of fucking control. Yeah. And you know, obviously, you've got the people out there that are calling it the media ghost fear. You know, it's not real, but you know, kind of hard to argue positive tests. I mean, it's you know, at some point, right? But there's a lot more tests happening, so that of course can inflate the numbers as well. But hospitalizations are on the rise again in places like Arizona and Florida, where I'm going to shock you guys here, where they eased corona restrictions on dining out and parties. They're seeing a rise in coronavirus cases.
No way.
You can't make this shit up.
Trump said you can't get an STD if you don't get tested.
Did he actually say that or not? No, he didn't actually say that.
He said pretty much the same thing, right? If you stop testing, we'll have fewer cases.
Well, he said basically that. There's been some sound bites coming out this weekend that are just... I've been struggling to even come to terms with. He said at the rally that, I told my people to slow the testing down, please. When he says stupid shit, which he does all the time, and I think people on the right and left can agree with that, whether it's tweets or in press conferences, his diehard fans immediately go to the one excuse that they always use, which is he was joking. No, what the fuck? That was a joke.
I've seen that.
That was obviously a joke.
Well,
he didn't
what if it is a really high level of sarcasm?
And we're too dumb.
That's what I'm saying. We do that.
Yep.
But there's a lot of jokes we make.
You got a point.
So I'll go back to this. There's a chance that Donald Trump is just the biggest troll in the world who happens to run
the president.
The United States,
and he's so smart that we can't get it. And it's a good note. But you know how like there are certain things we don't make jokes about?
Yeah.
There are some people saying that over 100,000 dead Americans is one of those things.
Oh no. Uh-huh.
They shouldn't joke. And I'm not making it. I'm not saying anything.
So should sarcasm just go out the window when you're the president?
No, but certain things.
Like you're just not allowed to be sarcastic.
Bro, certain things.
Not about that, certainly.
Deadly pandemic.
Like you can't say anything because it's going to be taken to a soundbite.
Oh, you're asking seriously. Like, should you just monitor the jokes?
Just be like,
Obama made jokes to everybody's dude, Trump is on, is the way he talks about things is fucking unhinged. I'm not here to, I'm not here to knock the guy, which I always end up doing.
Yeah, as you are.
But hold on a second. Yeah. Am I knocking him or am I just delivering the news of what was said? So it's not tricky. Knocking him. I'm just saying what he did.
On a clip based notion, maybe. Bro, we live in a 15 second world. Everything is 15 seconds. What happened if he...
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Yeah, 15 seconds before that hit, so that you said something else that...
It's a headline horse. Great. Hold on. Headlines.
Well, yeah. It's a great note and a great question from Mac. Unfortunately for that point, I watched the entire context.
Good.
I watched the 30 seconds leading in and the 50 seconds coming out of it, which was about a boy named Johnny in the audience. Oh, Johnny's got the sniffles. Then the next day he's fine. Like Trump's plan is to downplay this shit whenever possible. And he's taking a lot of heat right now for calling it the Kung Fu flu.
I need you to elaborate now.
He called it the Kung Fu flu, and the Asian American community is not fucking happy. People in the press have been pressing him hard on, pressing his press secretary hard on it, and they always find a way to flip it. It's just a whole big mess.
All right, how do we get here? What are we talking about? You
oh, the new normal. It's just crazy. Yeah. Like you go before you go into the club or whatever or to a restaurant, they assemble you in little groups, and you gotta wait your turn to go in, and it's just everything is. Everything's different, man, and it's like is this the new world?
I think so. Yeah.
This I saw totally. This on Instagram yesterday. So we could technically call this like year zero or year one, and everything else is like in the year 2019 BC, which is before Corona.
I wouldn't mind starting over.
Just like
fully
cancel the calendars. We're going back to square one.
I think this is the beginning of. Of the manifest destiny that is humanity.
Yeah, I mean, clearly the mind calendar was wrong, though. Right?
not yet.
It was supposed
to be the end of 2020, bro.
We got to wait till the end of 2020.
Yeah,
I thought it was supposed to be yesterday. Oh, didn't they just disappear?
Maybe they got Corona,
Ooh. An
early prehistoric form, like the kind Bradley Martin had.
Is he okay? Last week. He's all right.
Yeah, he's doing all right. He wants to buy a road bike and start biking now. Big guy to be on a bike. You got to imagine he's liable to get tipped over by a strong gust of wind. Because he's so top heavy. Yeah. Like imagine a big gust comes through, he'll just tip over, you know?
Yeah.
Hold on a fucking second. We got Jay Black.
Sorry
for the intermission. Jade Black is back. I can't believe it. It's been a while. Jade Black. Ladies and gentlemen, check out these sunglasses.
Oh, wow. Those are nice on you.
Yeah, they're pretty good, bro. Jade Black was started out of the frustration of being unable to find any high-quality, fashionable frames at affordable prices. Mm. Any good quality pair normally costs over $150. Jade Black has set out to change that. Jade Black glasses are made of ultra-premium materials like Italian acetate and polarized lenses, and they sell for only $49, and they just restocked their prism, these blue light blocking collection. It was sold out for over 5 months and has a 10,000-person waiting list. Why do you need these glasses? Digital devices that you use for several hours every day emit blue light, suppresses your body's production of melatonin, the hormone that regulates your sleep-wake cycles. So exposure to blue light at night makes your body think that it's still daytime, thus making it harder for you to fall asleep. Jade Black glasses block this light to help you better regulate your melatonin levels and maintain a consistent sleeping pattern. They can also add a prescription blue light for only $75. Use the code IMPULSIVE to get 10% off your next purchase. The link for that is in the description. What's so funny?
I'm sorry.
Which I butchered that read.
Yeah, it's
did you forget right. how to read when what? You put glasses on?
No, guys, guys. I think it's one of the reasons why Ninja gets the big dollar song because he can read.
All right, back to the episode.
Mike, you had a little run in this past week while we were shooting your thing.
Oh, with Corona.
No, not Corona.
Well, that too, when we did the varsity thing.
Oh, I was talking about the guy that came up and started chatting.
I'm trying to think of how much we're I don't think you can talk about that.
That's fine.
But I see what you're doing here.
No,
it was good. It was a good transition. Yeah. It's just like, you know, Mike's a felon.
you know.
No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, I mean, what's good? Yeah. It's been a while since I met my girlfriend's dad.
Mm-hmm.
That's a moment.
Hold on a second. It's been a while since you met him?
But the last time
that I did that. Like, that's a moment.
Oh, since you met a girlfriend.
Like, have you met Amara's dad?
I have not. I'm going to.
Right?
Soon.
It's a moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a moment.
Oh, yeah. It's a big moment. Yeah.
And, you know, so Jose Canseco. Mm. So it's a double moment. Now, I never followed baseball that much growing up, but I obviously had an open mind. And it turns out he was great. Coolest guy ever.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Coolest guy. Like, there's no better dad to meet, I think, than Jose.
He's a star.
Yeah, and just super lax, easygoing. Didn't have to act like, you know, tough.
No, it was chill as all hell.
Yeah, I had a really great time. So Josie and I surprised him on Father's Day at a restaurant.
Aww.
Yeah, he was really surprised. It was a really special moment. And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised at how many people know who he is to this day.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Ratio of people coming up to him versus me, 5-1.
What?
I bet you part of that being because you're in Vegas and it's like an older crowd. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I bet you there wasn't that many like 18 to 24s coming up to him.
Younger. I'd say between like 25 and 35.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, it was great. It was great.
What'd you guys talk about? Did you have to do any like?
I listened.
I'm taking your daughter kind of thing.
No. But I had answers prepared for sure.
Oh, nice. What were some of that? What do you do with my daughter when you guys hang out? what was your answer for that one?
So
you didn't have an answer.
No, not that one. I was thinking maybe he'd ask something like, you know, so why are you dating my daughter? And then my planned response was, sir, honestly, I don't know. As a joke. But I was like, it's probably not the time to be making jokes this early. But I never got asked, and we just had a good time and
played. We went to Top Golf.
Yeah, we did go to Top Golf.
After you guys had brunch, I met me and David the German went and met them at Top Golf, mm-hmm. And so it was Jose's girlfriend,
yeah,
Morgan, and we all played a round of Top Golf. And for people who I grew up watching Jose Canseco, and he is a massive human. He's just he makes Bradley Martin look like.
Forgot to mention how large
really?
This man is.
How big is he?
When there's a dad that's bigger than you, that's another little dynamic that changes. He's 6'4", 250.
He's a big boy. He's a big boy. And I was like, okay, well, now I got to compete with this dude. Uh-huh. Like, he got to just meet him first and have brunch and shit. I had to go straight show up and compete. And by the way, he plays golf pretty much every fucking day of the week.
Let me tell you something. This dude swings like, it doesn't even look that fast. Three, 4 miles an hour, he goes. The ball goes 1,000 yards.
The club face touches the ball, and it's almost like there's a fission reaction.
Oh, wow.
That happens, and the ball just literally exits the tee at 600 miles per hour. So we played Top Golf, and I guess the reason why I brought the story up is just because I won.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he's good at golf.
Yeah, I hate to, you know.
Yeah.
Is that them Connecticut years? I've played golf
my whole life. And the real reason I bring it up is because it was my first time watching him play and David as well. And golf is not an easy sport. It's some sports where you show up and like you could have some sort of indicator that first day of how your success will look like in the sport in the future.
Yeah. Yeah.
Golf's not like that. Golf is a 5 to 10 year like pickup just to get to like a novice level.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You got to learn every little intricate detail of the swing and everything. And there's so much, you know, gripping and your stance and how things happen. He almost fell over one time.
Yeah, it was bad. Yeah,
I think the difference for you is that you do like golf has a lot of stillness in it. You got to keep your head locked in. You move a lot.
Yeah, I also have no patience at all. Every time I go golfing, dude, I'm the one by the end of like the ninth hole whipping the golf cart around, like trying to drift.
When have you ever gone golfing?
I've gone twice, but I ended up just whipping the golf cart around trying to drift.
Yo, I mean, Top Golf, shit. Yo, if you're not a golfer, Top Golf is awesome.
But that's
fun.
If you're not a golfer.
Because it's very gamified.
Yeah, and you don't have to go for a long walk and you can just kind of hit the ball, which is the most fun part.
Afterwards, we went to the bathroom and Josie and Jose's girlfriend went in the women's, and we went in the men's. And afterwards, it came out and we kind of like fell behind. And Josie's like, so how was it in there? I was like, what do you mean?
What did she think you guys did in there? Like, yo, a dick measuring contest?
I said, what do you mean? She goes, did you guys like see each other's like,
what?
I go, what the fuck are you saying right now? She goes, what do you mean? You guys like stand next to each other when you pee, right? I was like, I mean, sure, but there's a couple stalls between us and there's like borders.
Yeah.
And she's like, I thought guys do that. Like, do girls, I think girls think dudes size each other up while they pee. I wouldn't be surprised. If she had that thought, something tells me it's a fairly common thought amongst women.
Yeah, but they don't know what urinal etiquette is. Can we, Mike, maybe you could probably talk about urinal etiquette. I feel
there's
like
there's so much. Biggest first rule of urinal etiquette that everyone knows, and this has nothing to do with Corona, although it's a similar rule, is if there's enough urinals, there's space in between you and the person. You
don't. Never, I mean, if always you, if, one in between, if possible,
one at maybe least, even at two. Least. You know, and like. It's usually a head down situation.
I was gonna say, what do you do with your head?
Some people want to stare directly at the wall. I'll be honest with you. In the days before Corona, I hate to admit this because it's disgusting. I would sometimes text at the urinal.
I've done it. Yeah. The only reason why it could go south and be maybe construed as a disgust. What was the word you used?
Just disgusting.
Disgusting. Right? Just
like,
yeah, yeah.
A drop.
Yeah.
Drop fumble.
No. So, I mean, bro, if you're next to someone in like a crowd, like a club or whatever, and you have your phone out, it
kind of high.
Maybe it looks like a little photo. Like you're a pervert.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're supposed that's to have worst. A. That's not like a main part of etiquette.
Because also, if you aren't filming the person, or no, sorry. if your phone is angled in that direction, like, which obviously, like,
Your head to like look
red,
at your phone.
A red flag goes up. You put it here, right in front of your face. Now you're taking pictures of your own dick at the public urinal, which ain't good either. Just phones
like you're sending dick pics.
Yeah. So
no, that's rule number one. No dick pics.
There's no good way.
But
to
also,
go.
But also, I feel like the other reason too is just that fear of the fumble. Like, how many stories have you heard from Coachella or wherever
of the urinal?
You know, of the 19-year-old girl that's in the urinal and she's like, I dropped my phone in the toilet. In the porta potty. Sorry.
And, that phone ain't coming back.
People need to be smarter about this kind of shit by now. Porta potties are not for texting; they're for peeing and pooping and having intercourse.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Ugh.
And if it's not one of those two things, then get the fuck out. Yeah. Get out.
Can't you find any other place to have sex?
Not really. Festivals are tough. Yeah, porta potties are go-to.
That's like, just get like a. Find a tent or like make one out of a towel or something. It's just disgusting. In there.
It's kind of, you know, I'll be honest. It's a little shitty.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Mm. You know, but
I just wouldn't want to piss off the girl that's in there.
Oh, you know what else we did?
Nice. I saw that.
Nice. Jokes. You know what else we did? So we played poker for a while. By the way, I really like poker. Fun game to play. Nice. I think I'm going to start doing that. Maybe venturing into poker a little bit over blackjack. But they had a really nice poker table in their dining room. We played for like 3-4 hours and they delivered food about halfway through the match. And we did
calling it a match?
A poker game?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
The poker match.
And halfway through the game, Josie and I did that thing. There were these garlic knots in the center of the table.
Uh-huh.
And Josie's like, do you want to do it? Because we had talked about like doing this thing, like making this joke. And I was like, sure. And I was like, but please absolutely not though. And she's like, no, we're going to do it. I was like, fuck. So she goes, Daddy, can you pass me a garlic knot?
Oh my God, dude.
Who you think reaches for it? That's part of the joke.
You I was taking that with a Jose Seiko.
She goes, Daddy, can you please pass a garlic knot? And he's like, huh, what do you want? And I waited until we both couldn't reach at the same time.
Uh-huh.
He goes, huh, what do you want? And he's like, she's like, a garlic knot. And I was like, oh yeah, I got you, babe. And then this kid who was there, he goes, that was weird. He didn't catch on in the moment. Thank God. Because afterwards I was like, Josie, I hate you so much.
That
like,
one's not.
Nah.
Well, and it's also Father's Day, dude. And
on so you're like, she goes, dude. Daddy, can you please pass the garlic knot? I was like, yeah, babe.
Oh my God.
Does he carry around a baseball bat with him to just beat up punks like you?
He doesn't need him. His arms.
Oh, okay.
His arms are massive, bro. He can literally set him doing a chokehold. He could actually separate your head from your body with a squeeze.
He's done it.
Yeah,
it
pops right off.
Guess how big his dogs are.
I bet he's got massive. Little tiny like
chihuahuas.
What are those? I don't know.
Pikachu.
He's got two Pikachu sized dogs.
No.
Oh.
Horses.
Oh. You have really? Horses.
Horses, Great Danes. One of them is 200 pounds. 200-pound Great Dane. Big boy.
Mm. Can he ride his Great Danes?
I think it's actually his girlfriend. He can't. He's a little too thick. I bet we could stick Evan up there.
Oh, no problem.
For sure. That dude, this dog is massive.
Yo, Evan was flying at the ranch on the ATV.
I was
going
to say, yeah.
Oh, fuck. I feel so bad.
You want to pull it up?
Yeah.
This is one of the most
What?
Just treacherous. Treachery is the only word I could think of when it comes to this video. It just was.
So we got these razors at the ranch. They're awesome. I'm obsessed with them. And I do this thing where I take the new people into the razor and I fucking go a little crazy. Like, I'm pretty crazy on this shit. And I've done this jump probably collect total like 30 times now. But I think since Evan is lighter than all of us, and I was filming, so I tend to go a little harder when I'm filming.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I did not expect to go so high. We straight up did a full on nosedive into the ground. Let me play this clip right here.
Oh, shit. I'm still in shock.
I'm not.
Dude,
look at his house.
Yeah, he was building that house.
No, I built that. Yeah, Evan was like, hey, I want to build a house. And I was like, all right, I'll help you because GP ruined my shower.
But, dude, that moment, though, can you go back for just one more second?
Can I?
Like, watch. Airborne. Ready? Watch his life change. Bro. Okay. When I first saw that, I was like, "Yo, he killed Evan." Like, look at his head right now.
Look at your face. Yo, my heart dropped. The first thing I was like, "Oh fuck!"
Shit. I'm still in shock.
I felt horrible because we did take time to strap him up, except it just wasn't tight enough, and he wasn't holding the things, which didn't help.
Mm-hmm.
But like, bro, I felt actually horrible. And
you let him give you a giant wedgie.
Yeah, but I also, like, more importantly, apologized to him, like, a lot in real life.
And he was okay.
He was okay. Perfectly okay. He's like, damn, I got fucked. Like, my chest is...
He's got some marks.
Isn't it funny how, like, the outcome of it, like, kind of decides how much trouble you're in? Like, he could have been badly hurt, and so you should be in a lot of trouble. But since he was okay, it's not that...
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. Because even worst case scenario, this would have been crazy. We did a roll forward. We're both still strapped in.
Oh, you're saying he couldn't have been? Yeah, it was.
No, still, that thing's pretty safe. If you're strapped in, it was a problem because it slipped up, right?
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, we were locked in. But it was crazy. I felt bad. Sorry, Evan. Again,
what a great guy.
It's probably time to build a better razor course.
Yeah, that jump is not suitable to do anything off. Shit.
You guys believe in horoscopes?
I just asked about this on the live stream the other day.
Really? Do you guys...
Horoscopes?
No,
not
no,
so much.
No,
because I think that's just like some person who's like saying things. All that language is like designed to make you find something in your life that's like, oh yeah, that's totally right about me. But if you read the other ones, you'd be like, wait, that's also right.
So a lot of times I think they just use generalized language, right? So
that's
it's applicable.
Said,
yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, oh, sorry. Yeah, totally. Okay, cool. I don't know about anybody else. I actually do, but I don't know who's willing to share this. But I was had some just beef with me and Amar all weekend. Just a ton of random fighting. A lot of it caused by me, I'll be honest. And I simped out and said I was sorry quite a few times. But a lot of them caused by her as well, where she was just like on some shit about like, and she was one of them. She was very rightfully mad, and she said, "Like, if you can't fucking treat me right, I'll find someone who can." Like, got into that kind of fucking mode. Like, we were going at it.
Yeah, yeah, those are fighting words.
And that day when she said that, her horoscope was: arguments that have been brewing are coming to a climactic point for you, Virgo.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if heated opposition rears its head today. This is likely a result of your own doing. Cycles of anger are reaching a critical point, and your stubborn character is butting heads with an equally strong force. Try not to take yourself too seriously. Life is meant to be fun. Our objective is to be happy. Then her other one said, you may have grandeurs of the grass is greener on the other side.
Wow.
So like some of this shit was so...
She sent those to you?
Yeah, but the dates are on them.
But she sent those to you, right?
Yeah.
You didn't go off and find those?
No, but...
Bro... She's a horoscope girl. That's it.
Oh.
So every day you check, and if it happens, you know, cross fingers, to line up that day, it's a big deal. That's what I'm saying.
My deep question with this one is, how do the planets in alignment with the earth and the sun on the date of your birth factor into this piece of information that you know? How
well,
does
I think
that
it's,
all
well,
come
all right,
together?
So this is a guess, and I don't know. And I bet you for some reason, is this like, would this be sexist for me to say that Danny might have an answer? Danny, do you know about horoscopes at all? Wow, so it is sexist, because I don't know why. I thought girls were more into this kind of thing.
I think I would. I don't think it's sexist. I would also guess that women are more into horoscopes.
Okay,
I don't know. Is that sexist? Cancel me.
Right. She's saying she doesn't do all that stuff. She's the wrong person to ask. My thought on it is that Is it that the birth of your day also corresponds to, the day of your birth also corresponds to the planetary position every year thereafter? Yeah. And so like right now, like, and what is Mercury like pulling my heartstrings right now or something? Someone like my hair's in retrograde. Yeah. What's going on here, dude?
So I fully don't believe in horoscopes. I think what he said, the language is so generalized, like anyone can relate to anything.
Yeah.
However, I've also, playing devil's avocados, experienced people who can point at a person and say, you're an Aries.
Yeah.
It's happened to me. I was like, how did you know this? He's like, I just guessed. I was like, what about her? He's like, Sagittarius. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's
crazy. And for a lot of people, that shit is spot on.
Yeah.
And I've heard, because they make entire books about this, that, like Mike said, the day you were born, where the stars were at, the time you were born, can pinpoint exactly what type of person you are. And sometimes it is scary accurate. So I go back and forth. I'll play.
Yeah, I'll play the game, but don't let it control your life.
Like, my girl sends me that. I'm like, wow, that is crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But also, I'm like, I don't always look to the stars for answers or look to them to determine what my future is. Sure. I'll do that myself, not what's going on out here.
Well, then on the converse, my horoscope, because I was like, oh, that's dope. Why don't you send me mine so I can figure out if we're going to make it home from Vegas or not, you know, was wrong. It was like, you will meet someone today who, you know, you should have a bubbly relationship. I'm like, bitch, I got a fucking girl. Yeah, dude. I've been with her for fucking 6 months now, dude. Right? I'm not meeting nobody.
So that's the other thing. Half of the time, they're right. Half of the time, they're wrong. But like most people who are into horoscopes tend to, I'm just saying, choose the times that they're accurate and spot on because it validates their claim that horoscopes are in some way determining what your life looks like.
We should dig deeper. We should find that out. I'm still looking for answers. I ask questions about that all the time. I want to know if, because that person that can point at an Aries or a Virgo or a Taurus and be like, I know who you are. How do they know that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're usually pretty spiritual.
Yeah. One thing that happened girl Eve walked in, I was like, oh, she's a Cancer. Because she reminds me of so many people I know that are cancers in my life.
Sure.
You mean this girl's a Cancer to the camp?
Toxin.
Oh, no, like the crab.
Oh, sorry. Okay. My bad.
He was great.
I love Eve.
So you could just tell. Yeah. I mean,
just right away. It's just like the motherly energy. You can feel it. So, yeah. But why? Why does that like manifest itself in people and you can tell from a distance when someone was born?
Odd. Speaking of Cancer, one person who should get cancer and die.
No, can't do it.
I can when I tell you that they hung a noose in Bubba Wallace's NASCAR chamber. The only black NASCAR driver.
What a horrible time for my dad to call.
The only black NASCAR driver. Someone hung a noose in his.
NASCAR's been so good.
Oh, and NASCAR. Oh, and the response. Go ahead.
That's what's frustrating. We can't go this NASCAR. It's a disgusting thing to do.
Yeah.
That unfortunately makes an entire organization look horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I also don't know the story. Maybe I'm speaking out of my ass.
No. NASCAR has done a great job responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
They are fully investigating the situation. Great. They want to make sure they find out who did it. And make sure that person is banned from the sport for life and whoever that, you know, that whatever crew they're a part of. So they're looking into it, right now to try to figure it out.
What's wrong with people,
dude? I mean,
we are not in an evolved state, dude. I'm telling you, that's it. We are humans are very simple.
Send you an email.
Simple creatures who do not understand and do not care about what others think.
That's the first time you've ever heard me wish badly upon anyone. Yeah. And I never do that. I like to believe that good can be found and no one should have bad wished upon them. But this is, that's about as nasty as it fucking gets. And this was today before the race, single fucking racer and crew backing Bubba Wallace at the race. But I mean, what the fuck, dude, is wrong with people, man? Like, how sick do you have to be to do something like that?
Goodness prevails, though. Look at this. This is beautiful. That's a moment right there. I really love that.
Well, this is my favorite part of it for the main reason of there's no bigger fuck you to the guy who did it, bro. Now you're watching the entire sport of NASCAR and the entire race rally behind the guy that you wanted to hurt, and you've done the exact opposite. Yeah. You've put him on a pedestal to be cherished and praised. And so You know,
damn.
Once again, I mean, you know, whether it's right for me to wish what I wish, you know, fuck you to whoever did it. And I hope at the forget the cans. I hope you at least fall down the stairs. I hope you are coming down the stairs to get your microwavable dinner after you're fired from the sport. You can't afford anything but ramen, and you're wearing some cheap Skechers, and you fucking clip your toe on the back heel of your other foot, and you topple head over heels down the stairs. You break all of your fingers on one hand and your right wrist.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Fair. Yep.
So
that's fine,
and then you fix yourself. So forget the cancer and dying. I apologize.
Physically,
I'm
and
sorry.
Just
I
the way you
that.
Are. Just that was crazy. That was so detailed.
I just want him to take a spill, dude. And honestly, and not the carpeted stairs.
Oh, the hardwood
stairs, and
that's getting
also,
repoed.
Yeah, because they're you know and yeah. Oh, there's Millen.
Stairs can be hard. A lot of people that got canceled this week, guys.
Everyone.
What the fuck?
At what point do they just cancel everyone and just start over?
We're doing that.
I think we're here. Yeah.
Is that what's happening? Okay.
Justin Bieber caught some heat.
Bro, fucking Bieber, Ansel, Al Gore, Cole Sprouse.
Dude,
Cole Sprouse.
Bro, you this. So, okay. So, what'd you just say?
That was a false one.
Okay. So, yeah. So, for the first time in the Me Too movement, I'm seeing. The accusees fight back.
Yep.
For the first time, they're fully saying this did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
This is a completely fabricated story. And my mind starts racing because say these stories are indeed fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
This is disgusting. This is horrendous. Coming forward with a story that did not happen for whatever reason is wrong on so many levels. You have the balance of a person's entire livelihood, their career, their life in your hands.
It's worse than that. It's worse than
that. Hold on, stop. I'm not done yet. What is even worse is you are now a woman who cried wolf and you've diluted and invalidated the actual victims of sexual assault and rape. When you use the word rape, that is a heavy fucking word. It's one thing to accuse a person who didn't do it. It's an entirely another thing to invalidate an entire movement of, again, actual victims. Do you know how? I have no fucking idea. I can't imagine how traumatic it must be to go through something like that. And then after years finally having the courage to speak up and having something dilute your story because of a weird intention from an anonymous
to get something and ruin someone's life.
Because yo, Bieber had receipts, right? Bieber had like specifically his story. He had receipts. It was the first time I saw the celebrity himself not be silent and not let the media control the narrative of what's happening.
Yeah.
And something tells me. Justin Bieber, the biggest celebrity pop star in the world, is going to negate a claim like that. He's probably got some really good receipts because if, God forbid, hypothetically, he was proved wrong, that's a death wish. Life signed, sealed, delivered, their career, life is over. And so bro, I'm even like just shaking right now thinking about it because this is the Me Too movement is the valid part of the Me Too movement is so important for so many reasons, and I think it's definitely putting a lot of men in their place, and a lot of men who were maybe raised the wrong way and with the wrong morals, who would have hypothetically done some shit like that, given the power that they have.
I think it's
so necessary and beneficial, but the side of it that is 100% a lie is fucking disgusting, dog. You know this happened to me. Do you know what's happening? I don't know if I've ever told you this story. And I think Evan knows. About 3-4 years ago, we went to the Dwarf World Convention. It was in a small town in Canada. Just mobbing around. We went to the mall, filmed some content. There were a couple fans outside of the hotel that we were staying at. And I took a picture and left. Nothing of it. I was with Evan the whole time, Evan and his friends, a day and a half, just mobbing around, again, shooting content, having some fun.
About a week later, I get home. There's an 18-minute video of this girl who I had never seen in my life completely lying about a very intricate story of how I met up with her at the mall, sat down, had lunch with her, started getting pushy, asked for her number, and like, I forget what the story was. I think she says I like shoved her or something like later that night at her hotel room. I showed it to Evan. I go, have you seen this? Uh-huh. He goes, bro, what the fuck am I watching? Dog, 18 minutes of a woman lying about something that I can't even explain how much this didn't happen. Yeah. I don't know who this person is. So my heart sinks. I'm like, what was the fuck happened here? She wrote beats for a detailed story.
Yeah. Like the thing with Justin Bieber, like what was it? The whole story that came out was a fan fiction. I got raped by Justin Bieber raped me. It was like a fan fiction. And then someone pulled things.
No, shut up. You're serious?
Someone pulled things because I was like, Justin Bieber's getting canceled. What's going on? So like I looked into it and someone had written a fan fiction called Justin Bieber Raped Me or something like that. And I think the modern thing that just came out was someone pulled from that story.
That actually makes sense.
Yeah.
But I actually commented on this video like in the moment because I was completely and utterly disgusted, offended to say the fucking least.
Absolutely, but you should be.
This is wrong for so many reasons. So I commented whatever. I believe she pulled the video down because it wasn't starting to get traction and even the comments were fucking
You could sue her for that,
so
right?
I think Bieber said he's looking into taking legal action.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, we on this show, you know, are probably, I'll speak for you guys, supporters of believing women on this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, this kind of stuff is terrible, terrible, terrible for the fucking cause, especially because it's really the one cause that exists out there that just the bare accusation is enough to to disable your career for the rest of your life. Yeah. And so people, just women out there, need to be sure about what they're doing before they do it and make very, very, you know, specific claims and not lie. I mean, once again, I hate to say it, but to the girls out there that are devalidating or invalidating the Me Too movement by creating false claims against famous people, I truly hope that the next time you're playing soccer, there is one of those in-ground sprinkler systems. You plow your foot into it and it tears a massive cut up between your middle toe and your big toe. And you have to get anywhere from 7 to 12 stitches in it. And every time you wear your shoes, it rubs on the top of it and it burns. And that burn in between your toes reminds you for the rest of your life that you have helped to invalidate an honest movement. Because that shit's disgusting, dude. And honestly, like, yo, on the opposite end of it, there's a lot of fucked up dudes out there too. And I know you guys aren't even saying that there's not. And I know I don't even have to say that.
No,
to the audience.
Hey, yo, keep this shit going. Keep it fucking going. Just don't fabricate a story because of some weird intention. Yeah. Like, please don't.
The reason I bring up the dude is because, as you know, my girlfriend had an aggressive encounter in the past week with a famous person.
Oh no.
That has a high profile girlfriend and it's a major thing.
I'm not doing it.
Right. And I'm keeping it general, but he held her car door closed while she tried to get into her car and wouldn't let her get into the fucking car. And she said she was scared and whole fucking thing.
He was with his boys too. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not doing it. No, we're not doing anything else on it. It's just a general story. All I'm saying is girls do better. Girls who have real stories, continue doing what you're doing. Girls who are lying, break your foot on a sprinkler. Guys continue to fucking do better. Guys continue to do as good as humanly possible.
It's the fault of the male with this specific movement. Obviously it's specifically males in power. It's looking like, males with clout, males with fame, money.
Is that what it is? So it's basically like women are, afraid to come forward because the guys are in authoritative state.
The woman puts her entire livelihood, career, life, reputation
on the line.
I mean, yeah. I can't imagine life is the same after you
courageously come forward with a very vulnerable story.
Yeah,
and especially if like, and this is fucked up too, if they're asked to provide details. This
you
can't
have to
be
go into
this
full
can't
detail
be
about
a
your,
fucking
yeah.
fun.
It's
this
traumatic.
Is a,
Relive
it,
your traumatic
course,
experience.
Of course.
This happened in at my college when we would go into school. We'd first take a course on sexual conduct in college. And some of the stories are that it comes down to, if it goes to a collegiate court, it's mostly he said, she said, because there's no like deep evidence, yeah. right? Unless you do DNA tests. But it starts as he said, she said. The man gets accused. And it's tough because the details are always blurry and the woman has to dig through deep, dark places where she has to, again, relive her traumatic experience. And
it sucks. It's the whole, the, it's
just
the
get
whole
hurt
thing.
All over yeah. again.
The whole thing is the fucking worst.
It's, I mean, this, listen, this is, listen, this is tricky shit. It's tricky shit. It's even tough to talk.
It's hard to talk about because, I don't know how receptive people are to listen to three like fucking whitewashed young men talk about like some shit, like men talk about shit like this, but also like, I have a fucking opinion about it.
Mm-hmm.
God strike me down for speaking up and saying something that I felt could be said on this on this show to I don't know.
I would definitely encourage any woman if they could if they could bring this information, if they've ever had an incident like this and they could talk about it, they should bring it forward. I understand there's ramifications on your own on your own side, but.
Well, that now that
hold men accountable. We will continue to talk about this until we die. Hold people accountable for their actions. And yes, it's dark and horrendous. But there is
Dalia has been he's getting smoked on that thing.
He denied it too.
Oh, he did as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, there's quite a bit of receipts on that one against him, right? Like I gotta check back into it as
but,
well. It's just been wild. I mean, everybody, Danny Masterson from that 70s show. Oh, and also there's very
question here.
Yeah.
Like you say like Danny Masterson from that 70s show. Like, yes, these are like famous people, but like why does that matter really at the end of the day?
Well, that's the movement.
Sure.
It's just to say like you're a person.
It's broader, but the part that's catching the media attention are the people in the media. Because it is the men in power abusing their power.
Okay.
Or I don't know if it's abusive, but you're just being fucking abusive. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Fuck them. Here we are.
Yeah. What else is going on?
Mixer. Wow.
Mixer's down.
Are you? Wow.
It's done?
Yeah, it's over.
What happened? They tweeted, right? So Mixer, it was a live streaming platform built to compete with Amazon's Twitch.
Esports,
gaming specifically on Twitch. I believe you could do more on Mixer, but this was a big deal about a year ago. I believe in August they inked a deal with Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly, it was $100 million deal for. Does it say?
It must have been for a certain amount of time.
Invest, right?
Yep.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So, today, I guess, this platform who not only signed Ninja as one of their gamers, one of their creators. They have a lot of creators. They have a lot of people streaming on the platform. It's big. There's a lot of money behind it. They inked a very large deal with Ninja. Today they tweeted, "We're done. We're merging with Facebook. Mixer's done. We move to Facebook. See you there."
In a tweet.
There are people making their entire livelihoods off this shit. Granted, I believe, and this is what happened with Ninja. Most of their contracts probably you got paid the amount of time you were there.
Yeah.
I don't think Mixer went bankrupt, but
Ninja took $30 million. Shroud took $10 million.
$30 million based on the time that Ninja was streaming on Mixer.
Yep.
He made $92,000 a day for about the past year almost. $92K a day.
Solid paycheck.
Solid fucking.
It's almost like you in 2017. It's a little lower.
I'm risking my life, bro. I'm risking my life in a boxing ring.
Mm-hmm.
Getting paid what? A fifth? No, not a fifth.
Fucking.
Wait, hold on a second. No, you.
A sixth?
It's not even a fraction. What do you mean risking your life in a boxing ring? You were in the boxing ring for 20 minutes and you got paid like almost a chunk of what he got paid for the year. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm in the ring for, 18 minutes? But Mike, surely the amount of training and preparation and dedication to the craft.
Yeah, all right.
We both get paid well. Sure. We both get paid well. But I'm saying this, DAZN, pay me more money about it.
Yo, did you see what Jorge was talking about?
Jorge.
They're just not getting paid enough. Everyone's really
trying. Jorge who?
Masvidal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bruh.
I mean, they're all talking about how MMA fighters are risking their lives and putting on this incredible show. UFC's bringing in a ton of money.
Pay them the most.
And they're paying.
Pay them the most.
They're making no money.
Bro, these are modern day gladiators. Yeah,
absolutely.
Pay them the most. Not only are they making not a lot of money, you're sacrificing a lot. A lot of health. There's a lot of health downsides. Day in, day out, getting punched in the face. Ain't good. But anyways, back to Mixer. So check it. Whoever was in charge of going forward with Mixer, you are dumb. You're dumb. When I read,
you say like it's one person. It's literally like probably an entire brand team at Microsoft.
Which is worse. So when I read last year that they paid $100 million to Ninja to switch to Mixer, I was first off, Ninja, fucking amazing. Amazing for Ninja. It's great for creators, gamers, the internet. It's awesome. But this model, time and time again, has proven to fail. The model where you back popular creators and hope that they'll build an entire platform. Mm-hmm. I don't know why Mixer didn't work, but I would presume it's something along the lines of people aren't actually on Mixer.
No. The reason is because they failed to pull the streamership that they desired to go up against Twitch.
Yep.
Did they sell the goal?
Microsoft had a goal to build up a streamership of like 2 billion users. With some cloud, what's it called, X Cloud or some shit, and Mixer was supposed to help do that, and it didn't happen. Facebook game. I mean, listen, like when you come in to the point you're making, when you come into the race with a product that doesn't have an innovative competitive edge versus the people you're up against who have endless billions of dollars to play with, you are going to fail. And the point you're making is influencer is not going to help you succeed.
Historically,
it's not going to.
This model has never worked. The creators cannot come first. Your platform must be for the consumer. Mm-hmm. And through that, the creators rise. The ones that make it to the top, they come out of the woodworks. It's every single social media. But negate me. Go.
Surely given more time, stars would have shown up on Mixer.
No, because if they're not pulling an audience, why would I go to Mixer? I could just go on Twitch.
Absolutely.
Why would I do that?
Well, and not only that,
because Ninja's there. That's cool, but bro, Twitch is, I get to look at a bunch of gamers.
I could see if they had different tools. I don't know the intricacies of Mixer versus Twitch.
Me either. All I'm saying is it just doesn't work. Let me refresh your memory for a second. Some of these will be content first too, featuring creators, which still doesn't work.
Yeah.
Feed.
What's that?
Oh, what?
Exactly.
Feed is one of them. Vessel.
Vessel is probably the biggest.
Don't know that.
Comcast's Watchable.
I do remember
Sold
that
the show to them.
Yep.
Black Pills.
Don't know that one.
Nope. Verizon Go 90. Come on, $150 million marketing budget.
You had something with that, right?
Here we go. I sold shows to two of them.
Right.
Because, I mean, they offer you a big paycheck.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't really care about how many people watch it. I was like, oh, I get to make a fun show. Yeah. I'm making a lot of money. But it was really hard to convert an audience. Mm. It just is. For whatever reason. And I remember, bro, I was at dinner at SDK with the Verizon Go 90 team. Head of marketing. He's telling me this idea, and I'm sitting. We inked our contract, and I'm sitting there. And he's telling me how it's gonna work and be the best. And I'm like, mind you, I'm 20 years old. I'm like, dude, this is not gonna. I wish I could have said this is not gonna work. Unfortunately, like, is there any way you can give me the $100 million you're gonna use to market this app? And they didn't, you know. But it's I'm fascinated that these companies are still just fucking flinging money at creators. And crossing their fingers, hoping that they buck the trend that this creator first model works.
And it feels so horrible to be sitting here with a fellow YouTube creator telling these people who are building platforms, please don't write us a check because it's not going to fucking work. I want the fucking check. I want the check. But I'm telling you, this is coming from someone who has sat ground floor on a lot of these new LA startups. Yeah, for sure. And they come to me and they say, yo, you know every fucking influencer in the world. Go and create a program around them to help us build this. And I always try to level set their expectations. Yo, listen to me. Even if you put McBroom, Dobrik, Logan, everybody on it, to move a product, a consumer product, some sort of packaged good, a t-shirt, a charity, something like that, fine. Yeah. So many users to site will trickle down to a certain level of conversion. You'll move the product if you get the right amount of traffic and viewership. To upstart a new platform, which is the equivalent of a new world versus a product being a small city, it doesn't work.
It is the hardest thing in the world to do. It has not been done successfully yet. I am excited to see what happens with
Quibi.
Quibi.
They're not solely reliant on
1.5 billion on Quibi.
Right. But they're not solely reliant on influencer because they have a slightly different model,
it's original content first,
which gives them a little bit of a leg.
Historically has not worked.
Right.
If you remember Netflix did not do original content. They sent you DVDs and movies. Every day, HBO, whatever. Yeah. HBO started making original content, correct?
I don't think so right off the bat. At first, home box office, HBO, and its original shape was just a place to see the newest movies.
Right.
Yeah.
That first, then through, again, the woodworks comes the original content. If Quibi can secure their Game of Thrones, House of Cards, Stranger Things, I think they're the problem is it's a short form model. What is, again, historically, I look at models that work and what don't.
Yeah.
What has been the Game of Thrones of a short form episodic series that are like, 47 minutes? No.
No, that's not.
No.
What? Logan Paul vlogs. Wow. What is that?
No, 4 to 7 minutes.
Yeah,
like,
that's the closest thing. I mean, who else?
I mean, it's totally different.
How much you going to relate to and empathize and connect with the character in 4 to 7 minutes?
As far as like long format storytelling, zero.
Wait, hold on. But that's kind of ironic because that's exactly what I do.
Well, no, but hold on a second. Yeah, but there's a lot more.
Because you cut out.
Stop. There's a lot more to you. And first and foremost, the character that people fell in love with you were 22-minute vlogs. You know what I'm saying? You weren't a 4 to 7 minute vlog creator from the beginning. And also, they see you on Twitter. They see you on Instagram. They see you boxing. They see you on the podcast. Yeah. Like, there's a lot going on here. So the 4 to 4 minute vlogs are just one piece of it. My only curiosity is, there's more of a learning here than to just simply say that it doesn't work, because when you look at HBO's model to simply show already established programming to build their base, the top movies, this and that, technically, that is the same thing that Mixer and other platforms are doing. They're taking already established movies,
things that you're familiar
AKA
with,
Ninja and his streaming. So
you're speaking about the vertical that is entertainment, those are two different types of entertainment.
Digital versus 100%. Mm-hmm. And that's where people need to figure it out. But it's crazy because every time you've seen someone try it, all the way to music, Tidal didn't work. Like, I know you use Tidal, but
it's
you
great.
Also
it's
have
got
a big,
the highest
giant beard.
I know, but it's got the highest quality mastered stuff. I like high quality music.
True.
And it's in its most purest form.
I do know that. Yeah. I think you're one of a few million people.
And that's fine. Is it something about like all, you know, rising tide raises all ships?
You know who I bet it's not fine for?
Jay-Z.
No, the investors in Tidal. Jay-Z don't give a fuck. He's married to Beyonce. He won still, no matter what. If you invest in Tidal, I don't know. Something tells me you're not getting your money back. I could be wrong. I don't fucking know. But it's fascinating. So, I mean, I also want to give a quick shout out to Ninja. First off, you played the suits, my guy. That was the greatest heist I've ever seen. And I'm saying this facetiously because it wasn't a heist.
Yeah.
And here's my shout out. The dude genuinely loved his audience and they loved him enough where he felt confident he could honestly jump to an entirely different platform, bring them all with him. When it happened to not work out, because I can guarantee you wasn't a part of Ninja's plan for Mixer to collapse via tweet.
Yeah.
He goes, I love my audience. So I'm going to figure out what I do next. We're going together.
Cool.
Seems like it's a cool, genuine relationship between a creator and fan that I like that I know a lot of creators don't really have.
I'm also curious too, as to is the failure. Shit. I hate to say this, but is the failure indicative of a lowered engagement rate and desire to watch ninja. At least a little bit. So,
well,
so
he's
so,
not the only one. Right?
Got it, got it. But
there's this other kid, Shroud, who's apparently pretty good.
But like, for example, if they had done the deal with Tfue, who was kind of the successor of Ninja, mm-hmm. and became the more engaged on the mm-hmm. platform, hundreds of thousands more likes on his, you know, his engagement rate, Instagram's higher, against, you know, like all of those ancillary platforms, or by the way, whoever's after him. Now comes up a conversation of, are companies overinvesting in legacy stars and underinvesting in rising talent?
Not, that's a big combo.
And
we've seen that shift in the ad space.
100%.
You go from micro to a fuckload of, you go from macro influencer to sponsor your product brand company to a shitload of micro influencers. And it looks like that, depending on who you pick, is more successful.
Because of the engagement.
I.e. Fashion Nova. Fashion Nova does this. That's their model.
Yeah.
And it's a good question. My answer would still be no.
Yeah. It'll just be interesting to see, you know, but what happens, where he goes next.
It's gonna be fun. I like watching. Because I really respect him as a creator, like a 360 degree personality, entertainer, creator, and it's been cool to see him just evolve. And
Turner
see
don't knows. Like him.
Turner, they got beef.
They
want
to fight.
Yeah.
I like to see that.
I like to see
one
that
one person too. That's not failing. It seems is what's the day? 7-7-9.
6'9".
He got a number one billboard.
I saw that.
With
number one
trolls with a Z.
And Nicki, that was Nicki Minaj, right?
Yeah, she had this to say on Twitter in an audio note.
Here we go.
You just pull it up. It's just
that's what she said.
That's pretty good. That's
just,
pretty
it's
good.
An audio
she's
note.
Fully
of her
turned
laughing.
Into the Wicked Witch from the West. from
she's
wow,
trolling.
What do you guys think?
I mean, her verse was good. I think Nicki's been one of the like best female rap artists for a long time.
I'm gonna ask you about Nicki. Well, I'm talking about 6ix9ine.
Dude,
here's my thing.
What are we gonna do, man?
I know I'm not the only one. I say this. Low-key, stop watching his videos talking about how good he is, how he's gonna prove everyone wrong, and like fuck the haters. I just scroll past his pictures anymore. I don't really care. I see the rainbow. I'm like, it'll fizzle out.
Someone
it'll
asked, fizzle,
and even if it doesn't, bro, imagine living like, bro. He shoots his music videos in his garage.
I don't hope anything. I don't hope, you know. Like,
no, it's not much of a life, bro. You have all this success and mega fame, and you don't get to reap the benefits of it besides buying a couple cars, putting them in your driveway, and not being able to go anywhere. What are we doing here?
It's another one that's going to be interesting to see. A lot of people are saying, I wonder what the second week numbers look like, because it's one of those situations where it's like,
you have to watch
so
it.
It's so hype. It's so hype involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Like everybody, people are like, there's people out there that are saying, you know, like, oh, I listened to that song because it's I listened to the new 6ix9ine Trolls song because that's a good song. That's a banger.
Here's how I look
it's not.
Me. Here's
no,
how
it's
I
not.
Look at
Hold
it.
On. No, it's not. You're lying. You didn't listen to it. Because of that, you listened to it because everybody else was listening to it. You thought it would be cool to listen to it. There's no way you're listening to that song and saying to yourself, yo, I fuck with this song. That's not humanly possible.
Billboard would tell you otherwise.
No, but it's hype. It's hype. It's like,
it's
there's
like
got to be
driving down a highway and there's a car crash, and no matter what, everyone stops and turns their head to look at the car crash.
Perfect. You're not watching it because, that's a dope car crash, and it's gonna and
no, you
want to bump
can't
it.
Look away.
You stop because everybody else is stopping.
Yeah.
Y'all 6ix9ine stands are musical rubberneckers. They're musical rubberneckers.
Yes.
They're so interested in the fact that everybody should be listening to it that they take their cameras out and shout "World Star" when his new video drops. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way. And I said it before. Call me boomer. Okay, boomer. Old man. Yo, that dude listens to Jay-Z. Say whatever you want. But at the end of the day, you know, deep down in your heart, there's no way you're listening to that shit because you're like, yo, this is a hot song. Are you fucking kidding me?
There are some people who did. Bro, I know a couple girls who shake their ass to Gooba.
I know a couple girls that shake their ass to the song the washing machine makes when your clothes are done.
I would like to meet those women.
They do it. They do it. The fact that they twerk to that song is not indicative of that being a quality song.
I don't
song.
Know.
Fuck
you might get okay, boomer.
I see,
but I agree with you.
I see girls. Girls twerk to Conway Twitty.
But sometimes these 6ix9ine songs, he's just like screaming.
Oh, yo, let's make our screaming ASMR channel.
We're doing it.
We're gonna make an ASMR, but it's actually just like pain SMR where he just yells things as loud as he can and we just turn the volume down. I think it'd be hilarious.
You mother. The one thing you're yelling
full blast.
The one thing it has to do, and this is the only thing I like about it, I think, is, and I hate to make the comparison again, but if you sit back, remove your bias from it, 6ix9ine and Trump are not that fucking far off from each other in the way they activate. This is not talking shit about either of them. It's just a fucking observation. And the one positive that comes out of it is if you're watching this and you're a fucking white kid in Saskatchewan, Canada, or you're a black kid in East LA, or you're a little 13-year-old girl, you can be the next biggest rapper in the world. You can be the president of the United States of America. You could do anything you want if you could just get enough people to watch your shit. Anything. Now, am I saying that that's good? No. But what I'm saying is just know that if you're watching this show right now, there has never been a time in history where you could quite literally do anything you want with no credentials, no qualifications, and no fucking skill whatsoever. And which is one of the reasons why, and I announce it on the show right now, I am going to record a hip hop album over the next week.
Yeah. Do you know Mike?
I'm gonna be dropping it and it's gonna be fucking hard.
Okay.
If you're doing that, that's good. And cool. And fun. Now I was starting to think, I don't want to get crazy political, but I was starting to think about who's running for president, right? It'll be Trump and Biden.
Trump and Biden.
Presumably.
Yes, sir.
Surely there's like Dwayne The Rock Johnson, could you please just like step up, go run as independent. You'll win. Please.
Or even. Yeah.
Dude, people don't want to be president.
So that's where I'm going with this. Someone has to step up.
Logan steps up.
So I'm too young. He's too
young. But yeah, you gotta be 35.
I gotta be 35. And to be honest with you, I can't run a country and I can barely run a fucking podcast.
But fuck that. No, that's what I just said to the camera. The fact that you're 35, the fact that you're too young is the only problem. If you're old enough, I'm gonna say another blunt statement. My thought right now, and I believe a lot of Americans would echo this statement, is that the less qualified you are for a position, the higher the likelihood you're going to get it.
Okay, wait. Hear me out. I have a crazy idea.
Go.
How old are you?
35.
Do you happen to know what the presidential cutoff age is?
35.
Yeah.
Of course I know that because I've studied politics.
Do it for America, Mike.
So you run for president. Logan will be your vice president.
I'm looking at minimum age of vice president right now.
I don't think it should matter.
We could do this. We could do this, Mike.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Vice president, minimum age. It says here 35. Fuck.
Well, just let's just fix your birth certificate.
No. Hold on a second.
Time's
think,
not real.
No, I think you're onto something here. Can we? I want to see how high.
What about youngest
chief
of
staff?
Cabinet member.
I want to see how high we can get you up the pole. And I think we do this. And I think we do a right end. Because and here's
who's your
where,
running mate.
Here's where I'm really gonna fuck everybody up, and they're gonna hate to hear this. I won't be able to be the main pick of the Republican primary, but I'm gonna run as a Republican. Oh. I'm gonna run as you're not gonna paint me as a fucking liberal. I'm running as a fucking Republican. I'm going to do common sense laws across the board. I'm going to protect your amendments.
I could serve in the House.
All right.
25 years old, minimum. All right. I could serve in the House. Right. Not all the right. Senate. That's the big leagues. Start off in the minor leagues.
I'm canceling the rap album as of right now. And I'm sorry to all the people out there who are.
Bro, where's my cut? Where's my pay, dude? The album. Come on. We signed the deal. We signed the deal, Mike. You're just going to pull the plug on this?
I already got a hit song out. Flat Boy, everybody remembers Flat Boys. Flat me and Logan crushed it with Flat Boys. The Earth is Flat, one of the biggest classics in YouTube history. You did it, crushed it with that song.
Oh,
incredible,
thanks.
Of course.
Yeah, I also made it and recorded it.
We
and made up the dance and all that stuff. Yeah, whatever.
But yo, I'm ready to go out there and be the Republicans' choice for the 2020 election. And I understand that Trump already has the primary nod. He's the incumbent. See, I know that word.
I know.
Is that the
yeah, I know.
You know that word. You're
I have. A, I have another idea. You should add Portnoy to your team.
Wow,
it's game over.
Portnoy, it might be buying the Mets. There's some noise on the internet right now. Yeah,
you can't be president.
Why not?
Oh fuck!
Dave just threw a wrench in the system.
You. So what you've actually just done, Dave, is destroyed America.
which we knew you would do.
This was motherfucking German.
We've been holding that back since World War II, dude. What do you, I mean, David. All right. If you're watching this and you somehow, or for some reason, are watching this show and have and know so much about the legalities, if I get that pardoned, which I'm working on in time, Jake Paul is walking into the house right now.
Yeah, with my mom.
Everything else stops. Yeah, I look out my left.
I knew she was coming. I didn't. I'm excited though because he's my brother and I love him. Pam's, yeah, that's Pam in there.
Well, do we invite them on? Mm-mm.
Maybe I'll have him wave and then we end the show, huh? Let me just to say hello.
If I get it pardoned, can I run as president? That's my question.
I think but only the president can pardon it.
No. The Connecticut State Pardons Board can pardon it. And I've been 12 years crime free.
Nice.
By the way, also another anniversary, 10 years off opiates, how off heroin. And
that's pretty awesome.
Coming up on June 23rd.
Tomorrow.
Yo.
Wow.
When this episode comes out, assuming I don't have some massive fall from grace right after this show where I go smoke crack, which ain't going to happen, hopefully. I should be celebrating my 10-year anniversary. Yeah.
Mike, 3 years ago.
What?
The lights.
What's wrong with
it? Just go out of season up.
It's a 10-year anniversary. I can't
Mike,
get some fun.
10-year anniversary, 20 seconds of lights?
Mike,
I don't think so.
Mike, we share
10-year anniversary, 10 seconds of light.
Danny, thank you.
Danny.
That. I'm sorry that had to happen to you. Logan's a little on edge.
We have viewers, you know?
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Hey, congratulations. You know what I got for you?
A shrimp.
There they are.
Hey. Look who it is.
Oh, come on,
David. So David's
well, it's today. His first day on the.
Look who it is. Hi, Pam.
She just came in from Ohio. I haven't seen her in years now, right, Mom?
Do we need her?
You
to
smell just like your house, Pam.
I do. What does my house smell like?
You.
You smell just like your house.
It's a familiar memory. That's probably a weird sentence, but.
I miss that smell. Wait, what do I smell like?
You smell like you. I just remember what you smell like.
Hold on. If I didn't reach out for the hug, would you have given me one?
I totally would have.
Oh, okay.
Pam's a nurse.
Trip on that.
Am I y'all still hugging in Ohio?
Yeah.
Shaking hands?
You were not really, but
wow. Shit.
I'll make an exception.
All right, we'll wrap it up right now. Okay. Thank you guys for watching Impulse, the number one podcast in the world. That's facts. Yeah. Sorry for the slow start, man. I can't be doing the
I feel like by the end of the episode we had pulled it together quite
about halfway through.
If you're watching the end of the episode, go back and unwatch the first half.
Yeah.
Good show.
Definitely.
Good show. All right, peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.